Well, again, good morning. I want you to do something with me, both at home and here. I want you to go, huh?
Huh?
Say it again, huh?
Huh?
You know what? When I would do that as a kid, my mom would slap me on the back of the head and say this, pigs say, huh? I don't know what that meant. I just know that I was supposed to say yes, ma'am, instead of huh, because huh meant I wasn't listening. How many of you out there have ever had a hearing problem which required you going to the audiologist or someone to help you? Maybe you need hearing aids. Maybe you just needed to get a treatment where they would flush out your ears or anything like that. Anybody? So, but we all, if we would admit to it, every one of us sitting here and sitting at home have a hearing problem. We have a spiritual hearing problem. I've heard a lot of people say, even this last week, how do you know or how do you hear the voice of God? So this morning, as we embark on this series called The Great Commandments, I want to ask you to turn in your Bibles to two places, and I want you to keep your hand on, first turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 3 through 6. That's where we're going to be focusing. But we are going to read, we're going to be focusing over the next 7 weeks, according to Jesus, we're going to be focusing on the two great commandments. So turn to your Bibles in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3 through 6, and then I want you to flip forward to Matthew chapter 22, and we're going to read aloud together verses 36 through 40. Matthew 22, 36 through 40. If you don't have your Bibles, we'll have it on the screen behind you. I encourage you to open your Bibles at home or your iPads or whatever. Go to your Bible app. But once you've turned there, would you just stand, and we're going to read aloud. Now, let me set the context for this. Y'all stand up for just a second. So the context is Jesus is being harassed by the religious leaders. They're trying to trick him and trying to basically ruin his reputation by catching him in a lie or catching him in some statement that they could turn and use against him. And so one of them turned to him and said this. Let's read this aloud. Teacher, which command in the law is the greatest? He said to him, Jesus, here it is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. Lord, help us as we try to understand and apply these words and this truth that Jesus, you gave us, this command, not an option that you gave us. Help us to act upon it, change whatever need that needs to be changed, and walk forward with you from this point. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, since you're seated, you can take your mask off during the message. We'll put them back on towards the end when we begin to sing again. You know, we have let me just confess to you that I have often times have a listening problem. Just ask my wife, she'll tell you. Ask most of your wives, guys, and they'll tell you. And sometimes wives, your husbands should ask you, that sometimes they have a problem as well. Sometimes sitting in a classroom, we have a hard time listening to our professors or in high school or wherever we're at. We have a hard time sometimes listening to our bosses. It's not the fact that they're not talking. It's the fact that we're not hearing. We're going to differentiate between the two words, hearing and listening, and how we interchange those. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 3 through 6, that scripture is known as the Shema. It is the one thing that Moses told the leaders and the people. He said, write these things on your heart. And this was what's called the Shema. And most Jewish people today recite a portion of this every single day. And here's what it says. Listen, Israel. Now, whatever version of their Bible has, this word, yours may say, hear, O Israel. This one is the HCSB. It says, listen, Israel, and be careful to follow them, so that you may prosper and multiply greatly, because Yahweh, the God of our fathers, has promised you a land flowing with milk and honey. Verse 4, listen, or hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is what the Jewish recite almost every morning. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, or your soul, and with all your strength. And these words that I am giving you today are to be in your heart. Now, Let me back up and kind of talk about what the heart is. The heart in the Bible is not the physical heart that they're often referring to. The heart is the central being of a person, what's on the inside that drives them to do and to think what they think. He says, we are to write these words. It is our pathway to doing things and prospering in God's, if you will, His environment, His plan for us, is if our hearts are right. We're going to talk all about that, but how do you get your heart right? Because no one is righteous, no one is, not you, not me, that our righteousness, my righteousness, is as filthy rags. So how do we get our heart in tune with God's heart? How do we get our lives in line with what God has for us? Is first we have to deal with the heart. And how do you deal with the heart? And the very first thing we're going to be looking at today only is the word hear. Not hear, like H-E-R-E, but hear, H-E-A-R. As I was studying this week, in this last couple of weeks, actually, I've been finding these nuances in the Bible about this word, hearing. Now, let's talk about the definition of hearing. Again, he says, listen or hear, O Israel. Now, in our language, hear and listen, we often interchange them, but it's not the same. Ours is, hey, listen up. What happens when we do it? Hey, listen up. Hear, you can hear and not listen, and most spouses can tell you that. Most teachers, they can point out the students that are hearing, but they're not listening. See, we use those interchangeable for paying attention to. But that's not the word that is used in either the Hebrew or the Greek. You see, there's an additional word that goes along with the word hear that really captures how we ought to be seeking God, listening for God, and our hearts to be changed. In the Old Testament, this is that word Shema, hear. And it means command. It's not an option. He's saying, listen up. Hear me. Hear intelligently, the definition says. Carefully, consider, and discern. And all of these that are mentioned in the Bible are accompanied with one other word that we fail to do. And we fail to do it means we didn't hear. Or we just downright disobeyed. And that's called obedience. Action upon what we have heard. Action upon what we have listened to. Action what God commands us to do. In the Greek, it says give audience to. You know, when someone is talking, you give them their full audience to. That's hard to do when you're watching football, guys. Is that right? It's real difficult. I know that's right for you at home because in just a few minutes, you're going to be switching over and you're going to go right to those playoff games. Cowboys aren't in it, so why bother? I'm just sorry if you're another fan some other way. But see, hear, listen, and obey are all interconnected. See, here's the thing. We can hear something in the distance. Let's say a thunderclap or a truck or something running by. We can hear and know something that's going on. And unless we go and give adherence to and concentration to, we might not know what that noise exactly is or where it's coming from. You ever had those when you're sitting in your house and you heard a noise and it's like someone's in your house? Anybody? You don't know where it's coming from and you had to go get up? There's been numerous nights where we've heard things and I've got up. My background is in investigation, so I got up. I grabbed my defense system. I won't tell you what that is because I don't want you to take it from me. And I don't want to have to mess with all that. But I go through the house with my defense system, room to room, clearing the room to make sure no one is in my house, and come to find out it was the ice maker making a terrible noise. But I had to identify what it was and where it was coming from. Scripture tells us that we are not to just be listeners, not just to hear the way we hear as normal human beings. We're to listen spiritually. He says this, he says, be ye hearers of the word and not hearers only. So here he is bringing, even in James, he's bringing this connection between hearing, listening, and obedience. He says this, deceiving yourselves. You're not supposed, there's action accompanied with this. And James, we went through a whole series of that about how faith without action is dead. Action is proof of what you heard. This morning, I promise you this. Where two or more are gathered, God is in the midst. Amen? That means the Holy Spirit is here, and He is speaking. It's not a speaking problem that we have. God is always at work. He never slumbers, nor he sleeps. He's looking to and fro throughout the earth, whom he might strengthen. He is speaking to us as his people. It's not a communication problem on God's side. It's a communication problem on our side. Would you agree with that? It's a listening or a hearing problem. Hearing and trying to actually pay attention to what God is saying and then respond based on what we have heard. How many people today will be like that glass? We look at ourselves in a mirror and we walk away and we don't remember what was said. We don't act upon what was said. See, when you begin to act on what you hear from God, you will remember it from this point on. The moment you begin to act out of obedience, you will never forget the words that God speaks to us. But what are the conditions? How do we get ourselves in a position to hear? What are the conditions? In Matthew 13, verses 9 through 14, Jesus, here's a cool phrase that Jesus used, and I'll talk about it in just a little bit. He says, it's a strange thing. Anyone who has ears, listen. All right, here's another exercise. Reach up and do this. Tim, you can do it too, buddy. We all have ears, amen? So we have the capability, unless something is internally wrong, we have the ability to listen and hear what God is trying to say to us. Anyone who has ears should listen. He had just finished completing telling them a parable about the kingdom of heaven. And he was concerned. Their disciples came up and they said, listen, why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus answers them, because the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given for you to know, but it has not been given to them. For whoever has, more will be given to him, and he will have more than enough. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Listen to this. For this reason, I speak to them in parables, because looking they do not see, and hearing they do not listen. And that's the same word we're talking about. They don't obey. They don't internalize it. They're just hearing these noise of somebody they don't care for because they're thinking it's going to ruin their lives, and Jesus is trying to enhance their lives. He says, and they don't listen or understand. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says, you will listen and listen, yet never understand, and you will look and look, yet never perceive. And the reason being is because their hearts aren't right. You cannot hear properly and biblically and spiritually unless your heart is right and you're ready to hear and you're eager to hear what God has to say. For this people's heart has grown callous. Their ears are hard of hearing. They've shut their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn back, and I would cure them. You ever had anybody in your life that you've tried to talk to over and over and over again, and it's like they're not looking at you, they're looking through you. They're thinking about next week's events, this afternoon's, of which Grubhub they're going to do, or DoorDash, or which where they can get in. There's really good safety and, you know, those measures we need, those 6-foot social distancing. We're already thinking about those things. You ever met anybody like that? They're always, you can just tell they're not listening to you. They're not understanding you. They're not paying attention to you. But see, the problem is we do that spiritually. God doesn't quit speaking to his people. The cross forever bears the communication message that I love you. And yet so many people don't understand. And we're going to talk about the cross next week and what that looks like with the word love. Jesus would sometimes use this unusual phrase, and oftentimes it was right at the very end of a tough topic. And here's how I would translate it. He was just talking about the parable of the seeds. I know Pastor Aleem prays often. I love his prayer when he talks about, may it fall on the good seed. And Jesus is given this parable that not basically about listening. Not all of it's going to grow fruit because they don't have the internal soil for it to grow. He's telling this very, very tough but very intricate parable, this story of what it means to grow up in Christ. And he says at the very end of this, he says, listen up. Did you understand what I just said? That's my translation. Guys, did you understand what I just said? He's trying to tell them in Christ there's an abundant life. He tries to tell them in John chapter 10 that he has come to give us a life full of joy and abundance, not kill, steal, and destroy like the enemy. He provides a contrast, but he says, listen up, do you believe that? Did you listen to a thing that I said? I've heard that from my wife. Anybody else ever heard that from somebody you love? Did you hear a thing I said? It's not a communication problem. It's a listening problem. Obviously, everyone has ears, but not everyone hears. Let me say that again because it's important. Obviously, everyone has ears, but not everyone does hear. See, there's a difference between having ears and having ears to hear. And I believe that to biblically hear, one's heart must be spiritually clear. When there's junk crowding our heart and there's unconfessed sin in our lives and we're doing and going to places and saying the things we know we ought not be doing because they're against God's word, and then we want to hear from God, we got to get rid of that first and get the channel right and back open by confession and repentance. Yeah, God, I know I'm doing that, but I'm not going to change. Well, you're not going to hear from God the way you want to hear from God. But I promise you, once the heart, when you've gotten still before the Lord and you begin to listen to what he's trying to say and we try to understand and then we act on what we've heard, there's something that happens and that channel is wide open and we begin to really get the message that God has for us. Otherwise, if your heart's not right and you're not spiritually clear, you're only going to hear what you want to hear. That's what we'll do. We'll only hear what we want to hear, not what we need to hear. I love it when people will just straightforward tell me the truth instead of having to go all the way around it. And oftentimes when the people go all the way around it, I turn off and I don't hear what they're really trying to say. But if they'll tell me this, then I can understand that more. I call this, and I think this is what we call selective hearing. Any of you ever had a problem with selective hearing? Believe it or not, we'll come into church sometimes, and the minute that the music, everybody's enjoying the music, but, you know, we get to see your faces, and we look out, and you can tell that you're bored stiff, or you're just wishing you were somewhere else, and that's proven because you'll whip out the Game Boy or the phones, and you'll start texting and all those other things during church, and, you know, are you really listening to what is heard? And then you wonder when you walk out those doors and go out into the community because you've not really listened through the Word of God and what He's trying to express to you. And so you can't act upon it correctly. And you go out into the world, and guess what? You fall on your face. I fall on my face. Selective hearing. Unconfessed sin, idolatry, unforgiveness, lack of charity. Knowing what God wants from you but not doing blocks the communication channel, and you will not be able to hear from God the message of good news and direction that He has for you. Sin prevents us from hearing God in what's called, you know, most of you know I love the Snoopy series. Charlie Brown is one of my favorite characters. I grew up with it. Everything that comes on TV about it are cartoons or memes. I love Snoopy. But we often get when that unconfessed sin in our life, and when we come to church to try to have, say, God, do something to help me out of my mess, oftentimes all we get is the Charlie Brown teacher effect. Wah, 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 and we hear nothing. We absolutely don't understand what is being said. But I guarantee you, based on the Word of God, when your heart is clear, you will begin to hear the voice and the heart of God. And He does that through the Word. He does that when you're praying and earnestly seeking Him. He does that for the consequences, trying to get your attention. He does it in a lot of myriad of ways through wiser people who love you and want to help you get back on path. God is trying constantly to get you to hear what He wants you to hear. To biblically hear, we have to be spiritually clear. But to biblically hear, we also must be spiritually near. I'll give you an example. Our bedroom is situated kind of in the back room, and it leads out into our living room. And Karen and I often, we have two separate sinks, and we'll start talking as we're getting ready for work, or this morning, for example, even at church. And I usually get ready quicker than Karen does, and so I walk out into the other room while she's still talking. And I hear that womp, 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 womp. I don't hear, and I'm like, I can't hear you. because I've walked away from her presence. Is it clicking now? I can't hear you, God. It's because I'm not near to God. I've walked away from His presence and from His principles and His precepts. And we wonder why we're not hearing the message. And so sometimes I have to go back in there and say, what did you say? And what God always has to say is important. I won't say that necessarily about Karen. It's important to her, okay? She talks to me a lot about insurance stuff. I don't know what to say. It's just like, but I've learned because I'm close to her. I can't get away from it. We sit next to each other in our chairs, and she starts talking to me about insurance. Now I've learned what a TAPA is and a APB and all these acronyms that they have in their insurance business. And now my son works for the same company. And guess what? I have to hear it from him now too. Insurance is important. Did you know that? But I got to tell you. What God has to say is more important. God wants to have an open communication line with you, but you've got to draw near to Him. In fact, the Scripture says, if you will draw near to me, I will draw near to you. God promises us that. And see, it's when you're close. It's when you're close that you can even hear a whisper. I used to have my staff back in Germany, I had a guy that was one of my admin guy, and Karen worked as part-time for me as a secretary for a while, and anyways, long story short, he would always say, yeah, but Jay, here's my advice, but you have pillow talk. Yes, I do. Karen can whisper sweet nothings in my ear, and if I'm close, I hear every word that she says. And not to get out of context, but oftentimes closeness leads to intimacy. It leads to caring. And I know what's on Karen's heart when she shares something, when she's brokenhearted. And I may be able to whisper into her ear something that will bring comfort. Can I just tell you, God wants an intimate relationship with you. He wants you to hear every word that He has to say to you. He prefers not to shout. In fact, in John chapter 10, he talks about my sheep know my voice. Let that sink in just a second. My sheep know my voice. When's the last time that you heard the voice of God? Honestly, you don't have to answer that out loud, but answer it in your heart. When's the last time that you absolutely for sure knew that it was God, the lover of our souls, who spoke to you? And if you hadn't heard from Him in a while, it's a listening problem. It's a heart problem. It's a nearness problem. We talk about this year, our theme for 2022 is greatness. How to be a great person. How to be a great church. How to be a great example for and leave a legacy for those that come behind us. How to be a great church that reaches our community, lifting up high the name of Jesus Christ and seeing the promise fulfilled. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. But we've got to hear from God. We can't just go out on our own I don't believe God's one of those that sometimes, nobody likes an I told you so person, right? I told you. I know none of y'all have ever heard that from your friends or your spouse. I told you, I wish you'd listen to me. God's not like that. He continues to reach out and trying to get you back on path. But you've got to be willing to hear. James chapter 4, the first part of that says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you, and you can hear Him. If you go out in the hall right now, and if they turn the speakers off, you wouldn't be able to hear what I'm saying. But because you're here, you've gathered here, you can hear what I'm saying. My challenge to each and every one of us is to take time every day to set aside a time to find some place of silence and listen. Ask God, speak to my heart. Show me what you want from me. Someone says, well, that's easy. How do you do that? Well, I'm going to give you 7 quick ways this morning, so you might want to get your notes out. First off, you can't hear from God on a routine basis until you receive Jesus as your personal Savior. receive Jesus Christ. And when you empty that space of sin and all the things he wants to forgive you of and get rid of, he says he washes us white as snow, and he takes the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside us. That is when the journey begins to really hearing what God has to say. Number two, read God's word. I'm not going to pry, but I am going to ask the question. When's the last time that you read your Bible, even 5 days in a row? 7, a month, a year. See, we are in a society now that begins to turn all of that, and we want to hear what others have to say about what God has to say. Friends, until we really figure out what God has to say, it doesn't matter what anybody else has to say. The Word of God is a way that we begin to hear God, and there's been so many times where I'll be in a situation and I'll read my Bible and God will just reveal himself to me in ways that I can't even explain to you, except the Holy Spirit is quickening my spirit. He says, see, that's what I'm talking about. Read God's Word. Pray. Talk to God. Talk to God. God, it stinks to be me today. Help. You know, we think we have to have all of these big, long, drawn-out prayers. God, I'm in a mess. I need some help. Please help me. Talk to God and tell him what's on your mind. All of the great people that you see in the Bible, and Jesus himself is our standard. He talked to the Father. He talked to God on a routine basis, trying to seek what the Father's will was for his life. We're going to spend a whole several weeks later on in the year on worship. Spend time worshiping and praising God. God is a jealous God. God is a God that loves to hear our praise and worship, because when we praise and worship, we're understanding that he's all that and we're not all that. It's us putting him ahead of all of ours, and we praise and worship. And I do. I like to imagine that when I'm telling him, Daddy, Abba, I love you, that it brings a smile to his face. Somehow or another, we've gotten this view that God is unapproachable. Listen, he made it possible from the cross to make him approachable. He paved the way. Jesus paved the way. Trust God. That's a toughie. You want to draw near to God? You want to hear from him? You have to take an action step. You must trust God. You have to be like Peter, who stepped out of the boat and trusted God. You have to be like all the Hall of Fame and Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11 who stepped out in faith. And they have their reward in heaven. This is just training ground for eternity. If you imagine that, eternity versus the average age of a person who lives on the face of the earth. Step out in faith. And then get involved. Get alongside God's people who are listening and trying to follow God. Start serving one another. You see, my favorite phrase here is, let's act like, walk like, talk like, and behave like Jesus. Or act like, walk like, talk like, and become like Jesus. You can't do that if you're not serving others. Because Jesus is the standard. He says, follow me. Jesus gave us an example. So, yes, there are times in our spiritual life where we come and sit on the sideline, we sit in the seats, and we just soak it all in. But at some point, the healing takes place, and you are to quit soaking in and begin issuing out, been squeezing out, and letting people see Jesus in and through you. And you start in the body of believers. Everyone here has a gift, and we'll talk about that in another series. I'm really excited about that, helping you discover the spiritual gift that God gave you. So what happens when we begin to hear, which means hear, listen, and obey, when we hear from God? Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts, and we ought to underline that in your Bible. I don't know if we were able to get it. Yeah, we did. Underline acts. Hears and acts. Again, that's that combination word again. And acts on them will be like a sensible man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house. Yet it did not collapse. Why? Because its foundation was on the rock. They did what God asked them to do. It didn't prevent them from going through the same trials that everybody else was going through. It's just it didn't crush them. We're pressed in on all sides, but not crushed. We're not abandoned. He is there with us as we go through it. Those who hear the Word of God begin to experience what it really means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And when you're in the center of God's will, it is one of the hardest places to be, and it is one of the greatest places to be. Because when you enter in with Jesus, you buy the whole package, which means, he told us, if I've suffered, you'll suffer. We don't want to hear that. But those who are following Christ, even in the midst of suffering, we can praise and worship. We can hear for His Word. I think we got a leak. Okay. Liquid sunshine. All right. There's two kinds. He says, yet it did. But everyone who hears these words and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. And its collapse was great. Now, I'm going to step up, and I don't normally do this, but here's what I believe is happening in our society right now. This nation that was founded on one nation under God is no longer one nation under God. We're not listening to what God tells us to do. Oh, yeah, we know that's what the Bible says, but we're just not going to listen to it, and we're certainly not going to act upon it. I wonder how your life measures up to that. You know that God says speak only those things that edify, and yet you speak those things that don't edify. You know that the Bible says we're to share and be a witness for Him, but you don't witness for Him. We know that the Bible says He gives us gifts so that we can strengthen the body. We're to serve inside the body, but you don't serve. You know that. Listen, you want to find somebody that's the happiest believer you'll ever find is those who hear, listen, and obey. Man, you want to talk about a dynamic believer. Even though they struggle, even they go through the same trials and temptations and all those things, those are the ones, when they listen to the Word of God, they rise up like Jesus did out of the garden, and they went and completed their mission, and they go and do that. See, there's two responses to hearing. One is ignoring. I don't want to hear what God has to say. I heard you, God, but I'm not listening. So we draw away from Him, go in a different room, thinking that we can outrun God. Well, how'd that work for Jonah? This year at Connect Church, I want us to be the kind of church when God's eyes are roaming to and from throughout the world, whom He might strengthen. I hope and pray that as we try to hear and the biblical hear what God has to say, that He stops and He goes, hey, there's Connect Church, and I'm going to strengthen them. But He can only do that when you and I have our hearts clear, we're spiritually near, and we're acting upon what God tells us. See, not everyone who hears listens. And not everyone who listens and hears obeys. Do you? There's also another response to hearing, and that's hearing. Again, I go back to John 10:27. He says, my sheep, check this out. Don't just hear my voice or know my voice. They what? Look up, or what does it say? They what? Follow. We act upon what God has said. You think about all the disciples. They were about their busy days and doing all the things they were comfortable with and how they were used to. And God says, come and follow me. And they got up and left, and they began to follow Jesus Christ. And those disciples, I tell you, it may not have been the easiest of life, but it was the most fulfilling life. And they changed the world because they listened, they heard, and they obeyed God's word. That's what makes a great believer. That's what makes a great church. Not programs, not plans, but falling in love with Jesus and becoming so intimate inside of us that when He whispers our name, we listen. He said, I would like for you to do this. Yes, Lord. We see examples throughout the Bible. Whom will I send? Oh, here am I, Lord. Send me. Here am I. Use me. You know, that's the kind of church that becomes great. That's the kind of believer that gets on fire for Jesus Christ. That's the ones that are not afraid, because if God be before me, who can stand against me? We have the strength of Almighty God, the Father, that is supporting us. And I'm looking forward this next year, this year that God will begin to grip our hearts, open our ears, and give us muscles to do whatever it is He has us to do. So we come to the conclusion, we have to ask the question, so what? I just heard that from you, Jay. Did you? These are not, the scriptures are not my words. These are God's words. Did you hear? The proof is in the pudding. The proof is in the action. The proof is in our heart. There's no age too young. There's no age too old to hear the Word of God biblically. And when God tells you, do it then. You see, I'll give you one more example and then we'll close. How many of you are parents have ever told your children, kids, you may remember this, how many of your parents told you this, and not kids, you guys are young adults, but you can go back to your childhood, every one of us. And your parents say, go and clean your room. They heard it. You're looking right in the eye. You give them that stink eye. Go clean your room or you're not getting jack. And then you go back into their room an hour or 2 hours later and they haven't cleaned their room. Did they hear what you said? No. They did, or they may have just been disobedient. You see, there's God. God answers. And he tells us something. And the answer, our responses should be, yes, Lord. But there's other answers. No, Lord, I'm not going to do that. That's a dangerous place to be. So we think we can add another word and we're safe. Wait, God. I'm gonna wait till I really hear from you. Really? See, God, when you hear the voice of God, he's speaking to you personally, to us corporately. And wait means no in my book. When God speaks, we act. We want to hear. We want to follow the greatest commandments. We must first learn to hear from God. That starts in the heart. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask that you would just, again, clean out our spiritual ears. Clean out mine, God. Do whatever it takes, God, for me to hear from you. I pray that for every person here and every person that's following us online. Lord, your ways are much higher than ours. Your ways are so different than ours. You're the way, the truth, and the life. So God, this morning, Holy Spirit, would you just move right now in the midst of those who are physically present and those who are online present? That right now they would just bow their heads and hear. Holy Spirit, I know you're speaking to every one of us. Help us hear. Here's what I know about our triune God. When the Holy Spirit speaks, his sheep know his voice. And you have a choice to make today, whatever that may be. I never know what those are. You do and God does, and you know them for certain. God may be telling you to reconcile with someone you don't want to reconcile with. God may be calling you to step out in faith and begin to biblically tithe and give your offerings. God may be calling you into full-time vocational ministry and he's telling you to go. He's telling you to share. God may be calling you into any kind of mission that he has for you. It may be going just simple as going next door when he prompts you and talking to your neighbor and tell him, you know what, Jesus loves you and I love you. We've heard stories from our student ministry at UTA that God in a supermarket said, go to the next aisle to one of our leaders and says, go to the next aisle and there's a lady there that you need to share Jesus with. And because she listened, there's a new sister in Christ. They didn't even know each other, but God, you were at work and she got to share in that blessing. What's God telling you this morning? Will you hear him, which means hear? You know he's talking. Listen. He's telling you something specific. And three, obey whatever it is right now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till you've talked to someone else. Just be near to God and do what he says. And I promise you this, you'll begin to walk a life that is great. A life that is full. A life that's an adventure like you never, ever knew before. And he's put you in a church to help you grow and to pray for you and help sustain you and cheer you on and on the way. So throw in with this lot. Maybe God's telling you, this is the church where I need to be. This is where I need to lay down my roots. And God, I'm going to be here and I'm going to stay here. God, this is where you've called me. And not leave until God has really, you've really heard that he ever called you elsewhere.